Well, you know, breathe.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, it's a good tip. It's one I'm always thinking on.
It's hard. Isn't that funny? It's hard to remember to breathe.
I know. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I'm Susanna Mars, and I'm sitting here with Dana Schaefer. She's working on a piece called You in Midair, and it's about the murder of her daughter. I guess it's really not about the murder of your daughter. It's about your journey subsequently.
I think that's a more accurate way to say it, what you just said. Yeah, yeah. Of course, it's about Rebecca, too, and what she went through, but it really is, yeah, it's my journey.
Right.
And, you know, I feel a little selfish saying that because, anyway, my director has said from the beginning, Julie Akers, this is your story and your journey. So, yeah, that's correct.
It's interesting, as I told you earlier, I've been working on a piece about me and my dad,
right.
And my dad is dead, and there's just this strange little shadow that follows me about how can I write something? How do I know what he was thinking or his story, the piece of his story that overlaps with mine?
Mm-hmm.
It feels weird
mm-hmm.
without him here
mm-hmm.
to say yes or no. But mm-hmm. I don't think it would have ever happened if he were still here, that I would be doing the show at all.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting thought. You know, I guess it's different for me and Rebecca because she was 21, and so we were like the cell that was still dividing. We hadn't completely separated yet. So that question hasn't occurred to me. I've felt for a long time, and by the way, she was killed 28 years ago, so that initial anguish is softer. I never wanted to believe that that could happen, that it is softer. But for some time, I have felt like I am her ambassador. She isn't here to represent herself, and so I feel that it's partly my job and my privilege to represent her, and that this would be okay with her.
As a mother,
yeah.
I think how you just described the fact that you hadn't separated, I can't imagine your daughter being taken from you in that way, and I wonder how long it took you for you to come to this idea of doing a piece about it.
Well, it's taken 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually wrote a one-act play in 1992. Rebecca mm-hmm. was killed in 1989. And my current director actually directed it. And mm-hmm. Vanna and Eleanor O'Brien played. Vanna was me, and mm-hmm. Eleanor O'Brien played a young woman at a photography shop. Anyway, it was a staged reading. So I had at least the impulse years ago to write something, but I didn't have the impulse to perform it until
mm-hmm.
now.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Does it?
Yes, absolutely. In terms of the heartbreak and pain of grief at just those short years after a tragic event, the idea of watching it over here seems like a natural step.
Maybe. In fact, I was asked Owen Carey if he would take pictures, and he said two things. One, he said, Rebecca Schaefer, I think I might have taken some headshots for her.
Oh.
So that was a fun thing. And then he said, now wait, so you're writing it, and who's performing it? And I said, well, I'm performing it. And he said, really? Do you think you can do that? And I said, yeah, I think so. And I think never having performed like this before, I was protected by some innocence and ignorance.
Right.
It didn't occur to me that I couldn't do it. And it's a wonderful challenge.
Right. And as I was saying earlier about grief being such a giant and complicated experience,
yeah.
that the fact that you are finding your way through it, obviously many, many ways. I'm sure there are many other things that you have done prior to this show and the first play with Eleanor and Vanna, that this is just part of your grief. This is part of your life and your process.
That's an excellent observation, Susanna, and I'm not entirely sure I had thought of it that way, because this is coming at the end of 28 years. I'm tending to look back and see what's come before, but I think you're absolutely right. It is part of it. It is part of it, yeah.
And I know from the piece with my father that it had one incarnation, you know, earlier that was about his dog that we ended up adopting. And I just am be able to kind of navigate these incredibly powerful emotions using other things in my life, you know, in addition to going to a grief group and seeing a therapist and things that were important for me.
And as we talked about, grief is huge
and no one does it. Everyone does it different.
Let's see, where to start here? I have a logjam of thoughts in my head.
Well, as you told me earlier before we were recording, you have just done two run-throughs.
Today I did, yes.
Yeah, so that's kind of a big deal. How do you feel?
You know, today it was so wonderful because it was watching all these professionals running around doing their job. The director and the sound designer and the stage manager and Howie the producer, they were all doing their thing. And
you've got
it was,
Phil Johnson sound design.
Yes.
You've got
Caitlin Bramer.
Caitlin.
Yeah.
And Howie Bierbaum.
Howie. Oh, he was so good. He's been absolutely wonderful.
Colin Stewart. Michael DeLapp.
Yeah.
Tim Stapleton. Bobby Burr-Wallen.
Come on.
I mean, they're
on.
All
Am
great
I lucky?
Portland
Am I
treasures.
Lucky? Yeah. Yeah. So you're talking about different...
Well, how'd you feel after the runs?
After the run-through?
Yeah.
Well, I felt that my performance is far from what it can be, but that we're going to... I know what I need to do, and Julie knows how she needs to direct me. It was very useful. I felt good.
Oh, that's
I felt
great.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's challenging, I think, as an actor. There's the process is complicated, and we all have goals and accepting where you are in a place. And
I only started 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Do you know Peter Page?
Yes.
Yes, he was my first acting teacher in the 90s, and I took an acting class from him at Portland Actors Conservatory because I wanted it to help me with my playwriting, and it did help. Mm-hmm. It did help. And then I didn't do anything. Didn't do any other acting. But I, you know, went back to school and turned into a therapist and stuff like that.
And you were also a teacher of writing. And you've done all sorts of fascinating things.
Susanna, I'm so tired.
Peter Page classes.
Oh yes, thank you so
much.
Sure, this is why a spouse is useful. And then 2 summers ago, I had written a memoir, and I had only put the Rebecca story in the last chapter. And the woman who was leading the memoir class read the manuscript, and she said, "You know what? It's that last chapter that." That's where you need to be. I think you ought to rewrite this. And I didn't want to do that. I just decided I was going to do a solo show. That summer, two months later, I met a performance artist named Ann Randolph. And she and I were joking around, and I was pretending to be a burly guy at Chuck's Auto Body or whatever it is. And she said, "You know, you have a lot of voices in you that need to come out." And I said, "Oh, well, that's good." And she said, "You ought to write a solo show. And I'll tell you how to do it." So she did. So then as soon as I got back to Portland, I called Michael Mendelsohn. Oh, for heaven's sake. And I said, "Can you help me here?" And he really put me on the path. And he started me at the beginning. It was so helpful. He was wonderful. And then his acting class wasn't suitable for me, but I took it. a class from Chris Harder. And he's a wonderful teacher. Just a wonderful actor and a wonderful teacher.
Yes, and does beautiful one-man shows as well.
Yes, which I have not been lucky enough to see yet. But so he teaches Meisner, or that class was. And as I was learning the vocabulary of the Meisner technique, I realized that's what Rebecca had studied in New York.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was following in her footsteps. Oh. So look how nicely this is all meandering.
Oh, that's so incredible. Now, your piece, you said earlier, is it 80 minutes?
80 minutes, uh-huh.
Yes, and it's going to open on the 5th of October
right.
at New Expressive Works.
That's right.
Which is a beautiful space in Southeast, on Southeast Belmont. It's going to be running Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 5th, 6th, 7th, and then also the 12th, 13th, and 14th, with two matinees on the 8th and the 15th.
Right.
And you can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com, and the show is called You in Midair, directed by Julie Akers, and written and starring Dana Schaefer. So just wanted to make sure we get that in the
Thank
middle.
Thank you so much.
And
Thanks.
We'll get it at the end as well.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
People can find it.
Very cool. It's also, if you go on youinmidair.com, you'll get to the website and
Great.
Buy tickets there too.
So how did you dig into the show? What's your kind of guiding light in the piece when you started to write it?
Oh, gosh. You know, it was so organic, and I let rise what needed to rise inside me, and then I shaped it.
And now, a lot of people who aren't artists, when you said you let rise what needed to, I mean, I know as a artist, there are ways I tap into what I want to say. I mean, was music inspirational for you? Film? Were you looking at things? Were you researching any types
of... No, it was all from inside.
All
from inside. Yep. You know, because I had things about Rebecca that have always, of course, as we all feel with our kids, that were so wonderful and beautiful, and things about... Things is a really lame word, but just the whole experience of getting the news and dealing with that and then surviving with Benson. I have my husband and I have been married 54 years, so we are great. We're so lucky to have each other.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so these big themes rose within me and I just shaped them and then had to make sure there was an arc.
Right. Right. And then when I think about grief, you know, of course there's an arc, but for you, it's ongoing. I mean,
right,
the show
right. for
is,
everybody, yeah,
because
right.
today, the day, this day, today is one day, you know, tomorrow will be one day more and one day more.
True.
I remember when I first started going to my grief group, the moderator who I adore, her name was Emily, is Emily. She's a great person. And she said, that's the problem just with death. I don't think she said that's the problem because she doesn't usually think about things like problems. Those are my words.
This is one facet of it.
One facet, she said, is that it keeps going on.
Yeah, right. That's
you know,
right.
Everyone's like, you know, oh, your dad's been dead since 2011. It's like, yeah, and he's still dead.
Still dead, yep.
And it just, as you said, it's softer. And some days there's a jagged edge comes up.
Yeah. And you can't predict that. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know what's going to... I'm not going to use the trigger word because I don't like that word trigger, but you just don't know what's going to pluck that string.
I know.
Right? You just don't know.
And it's so fascinating because the days when that string has been plucked for me, when I'm able in the proper place to be vulnerable in that moment, it usually is... an incredible, beautiful moment. Even if a person will say something, you know, I remember soon after my dad passed away, I went to an audition, and it just happened that the director knew my father, who was an actor.
Oh, gosh.
Now, she didn't know that he'd passed away. And I walked into the room, and I said, hi, I'm Susanna Mars. And she said, oh, my goodness. Oh, I love your father. Well, I just... burst into tears. I just,
totally.
You know, it
totally.
Wasn't.
You know, that happens a lot and with Rebecca, if somehow she comes up in the conversation, and people will say, Rebecca, you're Rebecca's mother. Oh, I loved her in that show. And I, when somebody remembers her, it's so pleasing to me.
Oh, I imagine.
And sometimes at the same time, there's this gulp of sadness. And, yeah, it's always there.
Right.
I do think of it often as, or I used to. I don't know if I think this anymore, but it's like miniaturizing an image on your laptop screen. You hit that little minus, and it shrinks down, and you think, oh, this is fine. I can carry on with what I'm doing on the screen here. And then all of a sudden, boom, it just swells up and takes over the whole screen. You just don't know when that's going to happen.
Right, that's a great analogy. You know, it's whole body experience.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. So you're rehearsing, obviously, and you're opening on the 5th.
Yes.
And what are you hoping to do with the piece?
You mean after this run?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to take it to the Hollywood Fringe next June.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thinking about the Edinburgh Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that's really complicated from afar.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to do it in Berkeley and San Francisco. There's a wonderful theater there called The Marsh that they do a lot of solo shows. And I missed a deadline this year. I've been so crazed. But next year I hope to maybe apply to be part of that. And I'm thinking of going back, rewinding to 2 years ago, and maybe turning this show into a book.
Mm.
And the advantage of that is I could put stuff in there that I don't have room for.
Mm.
You know, one of the excruciating things about 80 minutes is there's so much you have to leave out.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And so what are you hoping that audience will leave with?
When I went back to school and turned into a therapist, the main lesson that I seem to have to keep learning over and over was let go of outcome. Somebody comes to you and they need help. You can accompany them on their journey and try to help them, but you can't, you know, wait for them to walk out with their grief or their sadness or whatever dissipated. And so I'm not used to thinking that way. This arose but as an artistic expression of what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
If people feel enlarged or experience some kind of, I just hate to use these words because this isn't why I did it, but some kind of catharsis, that would be great. I would love it if they could see a beautiful picture of Rebecca and not say, oh, that was so awful. You know, and I've had that. People will, you know, we posted something on Facebook, this radiant picture of her, and some people said, oh, that was so terrible. I'd like them to say, yeah, wasn't she great? Didn't she have a wonderful span there? And I would also like people to be entertained.
That's a really beautiful point about death and about how we remember people.
Right,
is
right.
That it's so wonderful to think such a beautiful life.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's much bigger than that. There's much to it.
Right,
but
right.
But what you just said really resonates for me, the idea of looking at her and not letting that tragic event define
the whole life.
You and her and your family.
And yet you're writing the piece about your father because he died.
Yeah.
And I'm writing the piece about Rebecca. I hate to say this, but I think because I just hate to say this, and I'm sorry I said it, but at least it's their deaths that
springboarded
us.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're right. It's like it's not because it's, you know, life throws stuff at you, and it's kind of like, as you were saying, you know, when you reduce the image, the icon, it gets small. Life throws things at you, and you know, if when you're alive and living a full life and experiencing feelings, that's what you got.
Yeah.
And now, well,
Yeah.
Here's what you've got to deal with.
Yeah.
So here it is.
Yeah.
So it's not really because they died. It's this event took place and I am living it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're living it in your work.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, I can imagine. Yes, because your daughter, I mean, you adored her.
Oh, adored her. And you know, my husband, I was going to say my poor husband, because he is being pressed into a lot of service.
Mm.
Yesterday, he made turkey meatballs. He picked up the extra speakers. He went to Fred Meyer and bought me a new mouse because my mouse needed to die yesterday. He did the dishes. I mean, he's helping me so much. And, of course, he has to run lines with me. I bet he knows this show better than I do. But at first, I think he was kind of puzzled by my doing this, and then I think a little bit alarmed, because he's very private and he wasn't sure that he, you know, of course I'm going to talk about him and me and her. And now I think he's pleased by it. And I think, if I'm remembering right, he even said, "I feel like you're doing this for me too." And that was very meaningful to me.
Well, I would imagine you as a pair of partners who experienced this together, and as human beings we always experience everything alone, to again be able to partner.
That's another excellent point.
In grief.
Yes, uh-huh.
In this
right. Uh-huh.
Endeavor.
Yep.
What a beautiful showing of love for you.
Yes.
You know, that's incredible.
That's right.
It's like all husbands and wives, if we acted with each other, you know, in concert, you know, working on these are the big things.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I was a couples counselor, among other things, not exclusively, and
mm-hmm.
I loved working with couples and helping them maneuver the weighting of, yeah, we're together, but we also have to have separate lives. You can't depend on your spouse or your partner to be your, you know, your lover, your running
everything.
Partner, your knitting partner, blah, blah, blah. You've got to have separate lives, and you've got to be together. It's another wonderful challenge.
A beautiful paradox of relationships.
There you go.
You know, walking side by side, knowing your individuals, because although, so science tells us, you touch another person and we actually exchange atoms, you know, but you know, we're really unique. We're just alone in this crazy world where we're always trying to feel together.
Yeah.
And the show, it seems to me as though what you're writing and exploring, those are the kinds of themes that tend, in my experience, to make me feel as though I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I know, I remember sitting in my grief group, the big circle, many women and men who I had really nothing in common with other than the fact that we had lost a dear loved one. And that the minute they told their story, or I told mine, it was as though we were family.
Absolutely. You know, Benson and I went to Parents of Murdered Children for a year after Rebecca died. And as you say, we didn't necessarily have, none of us had anything in common with everybody. But as soon as you tell your story, then that's, you're linked, and it helps. I don't know exactly why it helps. It gives you perspective, a little bit of release, they've been down the road a little bit further than we were at that time, so they could say, yeah, don't think you're going crazy if you're driving in your car and suddenly you think, wait a minute, where am I and where am I going?
Yes.
You know?
Oh, I was amazed at what grief can do to people.
Yeah.
And how it acts on the brain. And it's those types of things. No one really talks about it until you lose someone. And then, even then, some people don't talk about it at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would imagine that many relationships wouldn't survive such a
tragedy.
You
know, that is often said. I've never seen the data, and I'm married to a psychologist, so I've been instructed, or I've learned to talk about data.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen the data. I would love to know how. Yeah, some people stay together and some don't. Yeah.
Right. Well, I just am so looking forward to seeing the show.
Great.
I would really like to. And
great.
And I'm delighted that you came and spoke to me.
It was a pleasure, and I feel like this is the best kind of interview. I feel like I'm enlarged.
Oh, thank you. I feel the same. And I'm looking forward to just really feeling the joy of your love.
Great. And the funny bits in my show, because it's got funny bits.
I like funny bits.
All about funny bits, right?
Yeah. That's what makes the world go round.
Yeah, that's right.
The funny bits.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you again, Dana.
Thanks, Susanna.
Oh,
pleasure.
I'll repeat the information, actually, okay. Just so everyone's got it.
Great.
You in Midair, written and starring Dana Schaefer, directed by Julie Akers, October 5th through the 15th at New Expressive Works. You can get tickets for it at brownpapertickets.com. And the creative and production team, Tim Stapleton, Bobby Brewer, Wallen, Phil Johnson, Caitlin Bramer, Howie Bierbaum, Colin Stewart, and Michael DeLapp. So come and see this show and support this incredible journey.
Thanks.
Thank you.
If I could fly to you, I would.